This Bites, discussing Milwaukee's culinary and restaurant culture.
With Ann Christensen of Milwaukee Magazine and Tariq Moody of 88.9.
Welcome to This Bites, Milwaukee's longest running culinary podcast with your hosts, the wonderful, talented, better than Kristen Kish, Ann Christensen of Milwaukee Magazine, and me, DJ Tariq, a.k.a. The Architect, much better than Tom Colicchio. I look better bald, as we all know. And we should have our own show. Our show's called Top Chef. We should have Top Bites.
We have our own show.
Yeah, but we need a TV show name, so it's Top Bites.
Top Bites.
Take that. We want to have our own viewing parties.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of Top Chef, we'll get into that later. Another episode. How you doing, Ann?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Feels like spring is trying to raise its head in here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's trying.
And that means also a lot of burgeoning restaurants are opening, including the one we're about to talk about right now. That's over in Milwaukee Magazine website, a new Thai Japanese restaurant that's just opened in Bayview.
Yeah.
As of yesterday. We talked about it a couple months ago, but we didn't know the details. So what's the deets on that
one? Yeah. So this this place is called Room Service. And we probably talked about the development it's in.
Yeah.
It's this gorgeous sort of modern building that was kind of built by one of the owners of Rice and Earl. So this guy is behind the actual building itself. He owns the building. And the restaurant is just this gorgeous space that Tariq and I, you know, before we get on the air, we were looking at pictures of it. It's just really, really beautiful. The owner, she goes by the name Joey. I'm not going to try to pronounce her Thai name. She's a native of Bangkok, Thailand. And this is the first Milwaukee restaurant for her.
Because she has restaurants in Bangkok, right?
She worked in her as a chef in her family's restaurant. This restaurant is Thai, but it also has a sushi bar. And the menu just sounds amazing.
Really?
Yeah. So they have things like, okay, this is the thing that I absolutely need to get when I go there. It's called Royal Flour Dumpling. And it's this purple dumpling that has a sweet sour radish and peanut filling. Did you see a photo of this, Tariq? We have a photo.
I saw all the photos and I was salivating at all these.
I know. Photos. So that's one of the things I've got to try. They have a crispy catfish salad that I thought of you when I saw that. Other things, they've got something called a tuna tango pizza, Thai style calamari, something called kinnikinnik crisp shell, which is grilled beef with kimchi slaw and Asian pear in a crispy.
That should be called pizza. Center Street. That sounds too good for Bayview.
Yeah,
Bayview's all about the hot ham and rolls. But anyway,
yeah. Did we mention we're in Bayview here? This is
Bayview. Yeah, because you know there's no other neighborhood to put a restaurant, but you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They have a Wagyu beef dish where diners actually grill it tableside on a hot stone. That sounds delicious. And I haven't even gotten into the main courses. The main courses are grouped by by region or theme. So some dishes are Northern Thai. So they have a Northern Thai noodle dish and a short rib dish. They have Phuket, they call it Phuket Treasures.
Watch your mouth.
I beg your pardon? Were you making a joke?
Yeah, it went over your head. Go ahead.
Of course. they have a lump crab curry. They have ocean fried rice, which has jumbo lump crab, squid and shrimp with jasmine rice and seafood sauce. There's this one dish called Sam Tam Kai Tad. That is in the Isan category. It includes a shredded papaya, tomato, and string bean salad with fried chicken, assorted vegetables, sticky rice, and spicy tamarind sauce. Mm. That sounds amazing. And then they get into a little bit more dishes that are, I guess they call them Bangkok street food. And these are things that are probably more familiar to local diners, like pad thai, drunken noodles. There's also a vermicelli shrimp dish. So that's glass noodles with shrimp and pork belly. Those are just a few of the dishes. And I didn't even get into sushi. They've got all these different tamaki hand rolls.
Oh, the tamaki. That's the type rolls, yeah.
And so they opened for dinner, but they're going to add lunch hours next week. Okay. So they're not quite fully operational, but one of the things that they told me is that they are not you definitely want to make a reservation because they're not able to like fill the dining room quite yet. They're not, you know, they're not ready to be at full capacity. Cool. So that being said, you want to go on their website and get a reservation. Now, one thing about this building, which is really interesting, is it has a roof. It's going to have a rooftop patio, this restaurant. Mm. I don't know if they're going to serve food up there, but there is a patio. And then in the back, there's another restaurant. And it's a place that we actually talked about probably several weeks ago. It's called Todd, I Believe I Can Fry. This is a chicken wing and tender business. And I've heard the wings are really great. I haven't tried them yet, but I'm going to. And this whole development is like right next door to where Estrev is also moving in. So, and then if you think about, like, if you look directly across the street, there's this building called the Kinetic. It's like this apartment building. And Paloma, which makes these kind of bougie tacos, they have a location in Washington Heights. They're about to open their second location right across the street. So there's a lot happening in Bayview right now, Tariq.
Yeah, yeah. Great Bayview. Great for Bayview. Coming up on This Bites, we'll continue our conversation with Anne's recap of the latest episode of Top Chef. That's coming up on This Bites. We'll be right back.
I'm 88.9's Dory Zori.
And I'm Milwaukee Films' Christopher Pollard.
And we are the hosts of Cinebuds.
Yeah, we are. And on Cinebuds, we talk about movies.
Flicks.
Moving pictures, they are referred to as also.
Talkies.
Talkies is good, yeah. And you can listen to us every week.
On Wednesdays at 8 a.m.
Yeah, or you can listen to the entire podcast at radiomilwaukee.org/podcast.
Why wouldn't you? Cinebuds is brought to you with support from our members.
Love you.
We're back on This Bites, Milwaukee's longest running culinary podcast. Well, the people who should be taking over Top Chef. And Christensen and me, Tariq Moody. Speaking of bottom chef, I mean top chef. I'm going to get some hate mail, aren't I? Anne made me do it. That's all I would say. Anne made me do it. Speaking of Top Chef, new episode. They had a theme that was right up my alley, but I was not even near the episode whatsoever. Because what is my nickname when I say it when I'm on air?
The Architect.
And where was I on Top Chef? Was I on Top Chef last night?
I didn't see you.
No. First mistake. But you know, I'm take the high road. I'm gonna be the better person, unlike Chris and Chris.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad
you're Tom Kicklio, who didn't took the low road.
This says a lot about you that you're gonna take the high road, Tariq.
I'm always the high road. That's what I do.
You. Okay, good.
The Top Chef guys, they take the bottom. I mean, you know how they are. Go. What happened last
night? Okay. So last night's episode was really fun. They went to Madison. So they, you know, drove to Madison, and the whole theme was about Frank Lloyd Wright and how to incorporate this idea of duality in cooking.
Okay. That was like Frank Lloyd wrong right there, but go ahead.
So the first thing they did, though, before they went to Madison, is they went to the Burnham Block buildings. Are you familiar with the Burnham Block buildings?
No. What is that? Tell me. Educate me.
Well, the Burnham Block is a series of houses located on Layton Boulevard. So right here on the south side. And I think there are six of them. And he built them in, like, I don't know, 1916, something like that. And they were part of a series of homes that were kind of meant to be mass produced. I know they're listed on the National Register. They're really, really cool. And the other thing about them is they were system built. So rather than a system of like cutting the lumber and other materials, like in a mill or a factory, they brought them right to the site to build. So this saved material waste. And apparently this was kind of new for that time. These were really unusual homes. And they're really, really cool. So the contestants on Top Chef went and they toured these houses and they were getting inspiration and learning about Frank Lloyd Wright before driving to Madison and learning more about Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm. So they learned that what they needed to do was create a dish that sort of signified this sort of idea of duality in Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture. So they also visited Taliesin, which is Frank Lloyd Wright's house in Spring Green. Mm-hmm. And they walked through and toured Monona Terrace, which is at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So that being said, we're down to 12 contestants. They started with 15, and each of the contestants was paired up with one other. So they were in pairs, each doing a dish. And it was just a really fun episode. And they, just as they do every episode, they bring in guest judges. So they had Dominique Krenn. And if you're familiar with her,
she studied architecture where? Again, I just want to.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
No, she didn't. Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, she's a famous chef. She's French. She owns a restaurant in San Francisco called Atelier Krenn. And I believe this title still stands. She is the only woman in the United States to earn 3 Michelin stars for her restaurant.
And no architecture degree, but go ahead.
And no architecture degree. But she was one of the guest judges. And then the other guest judge was Buddha Low. Do you know who Buddha Low is?
He's not an architect.
Okay. He's an Australian chef who has won Top Chef 2 consecutive times.
How do you do that? Are you not allowed to come back on the show?
He was allowed to come back.
What is this?
I know. But anyway, he was a guest judge. And this was interesting because all these chefs, the chefs were working in pairs. So there was some conflict going on. Some of the chefs didn't work together as smoothly as you would want to see. However, our boy Dan Jacobs, he was paired up with this other chef, Amanda. They were a great team. In fact, they, at one point, they called themselves Demanda. So Dan and Amanda, get it? Demand. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they were Demanda. They had to complete this challenge. Long story short is that Dan and Amanda are still standing. They weren't eliminated. They did not win the challenge, but they were not eliminated. 2 other chefs were eliminated. Mm. And we saw a little preview of next week's episode. And that theme is supper clubs. They're still going to be in Madison. They have to shop at the Madison Farmers Market.
It's open now?
This was all filmed last summer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, so they copied the episode I did on Wisconsin Foodie. So they're plagiarizing me when I was on Author Food, or, and like, all right.
Well, still
the high road. Still the
high
road.
Here's a little interesting tidbit, because in the clip they also showed them inside a supper club in Madison, and I believe Questlove was there.
Oh, well, you know, he can't I have a lot to say about Questlove, but I'll keep it to myself.
Okay.
Anyway. So for the folks out there, if you want to see how a real person does this in Madison Farmers Market, watch the episode of Wisconsin Foodie when they did a special episode with me competing against other chefs shopping them out. That's authentic stuff right there.
People can Google that, right?
Yeah,
what season was that?
I don't know. It's like one of the top videos on YouTube right now or something like that. Like, I think it has like 20 million views or something. But,
you know. Wow.
You hear that, Kristen? You hear that?
Yeah.
How many views do you have? Cool. That's next episode. Thank you. And big ups to Dan for sticking it out.
He's hanging in there.
He's hanging in there. Next, we're going to talk about something close to my heart.
Okay. What is that?
Omakase. You know what omakase is.
Omakase. Of course.
Yeah, omakase. You know, I always said I wish Milwaukee would have a proper omakase kind of experience here.
I think you need to explain what it is.
So let me explain what omakase is. It is a phrase that means I'll leave it up to you. So basically, you're leaving up to the chef to prepare the meal. And so in an omakase meal, the customer entrusts the chef to select several seasoned specialties and the highest quality ingredients available at that time. And it creates the menu on the spot. So it's not like preps, you know, like those fancy chefs have to plan ahead and stuff. These chefs on top of the dome make this happen.
Mm.
It's like improv, but in the culinary world.
Uh-huh.
You know, like what they try to do on Top Chef, but, you know. and so like I've been like some of the best places closest place you can get some really quality omakase is mostly in Chicago. One place is called Kyoten. It's they do an omakase of up to 20 courses at an 8-seat sushi counter, and the chef usually gets wild caught fish and Japanese delicacies, and prices start up around $440. Then there's Omakase Yum in Chicago. Oh,
can we mention prices?
Yeah, because it's not on air. This is the podcast part.
Ew.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they do a 16-course meal. There's Mako, and then there's the Omakase Room at Sushi San. Those are some places in Chicago. But it looks like we're getting a little taste of some omakase. At least some people are so far, because it's been sold out of a place called Dag Homakase. For the last few weeks or so in April, sold out. They've been doing pop-ups at Twisted Path Distillery. And the chef is named Ray. Ray is this is like his personal project called Dag Homakase. And his mission is to serve you the best personalized omakase and then all in the comfort of your home. So he does it, and you can book him for your home as well. So tell your editor, you know, if you want to do a review, I can do a review in my home for Milwaukee Magazine. The chef has 13 years experience, renowned sushi restaurant, Chicago, New York City. I want to interview him. So I'm going to reach out to interview him, get his whole story. But he does a 13 course at Twisted Path, and all of April is already booked out. So they haven't announced May. So it'll be announced in May soon, I guess. So he'll be doing these pop-ups. Of course, you can book them at home if you want to, I guess, as well. I don't have any details of the menu, but the photos on Instagram are amazing. And it looks like he selects some top quality fish, and the stuff he makes looks crazy good. So,
okay. So here's a little like more of a technical question, because with these menus, like how involved are they? Because I think about Twisted Path. I mean, they don't have a kitchen in there, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's, I'm looking at it. I'm assuming this is Twisted Path here. Yeah, this is Twisted Path. So they have a special room somewhere.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, looks like a Twisted Path, and they have a special room somewhere back there, I guess. That's what it looks like for me from here. I'm looking at Instagram. Yeah, because it looks like the space full, because I see the monitor. So they might have a secret cocktail room somewhere in the back, probably, I'm guessing. That's where he does it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing, because it looks very secluded, if that means anything.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so this guy is doing pop-ups here, mm-hmm. and we don't really know how he came to Milwaukee, right? Yeah.
And the editor, your editor can hire me and I'll do the story.
Okay. I will pass that message along.
So, yeah. So hopefully I'll get a chance to do it. April's all booked up. So once he announces May, I'm going to try to see if I can get in there. But I do want to interview him because I'm really curious about the story. Because I'm looking at his Instagram. It goes, DM for your experience anywhere, any street, service in Wisconsin, dog Homosaki. So it's kind of cool.
I think you should just come to your house and do it.
I see pictures of salt cured yolk, egg yolks. I mean, the fish looks immaculate here. But anyway, yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I hope we get more of that here.
Yeah, it's nice. Maybe he was like, you know, people do pop ups and they're working to their own spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's the goal.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe open an omakase in, I don't know, River West. Max, got some news about Turning Tables Tavern and Turner Hall. Urban Milwaukee reports they are relocating to a location at 250 East Wisconsin Avenue and with a new name called Diverse Dining. It's the revival of the program that Emerald Mills founded back in 2018 to bridge racial, social, economical, and generational gap through shared meals and conversations. She aims to carry on the essence of the program while helping patrons understand the nature of the business, which acts as a host to chefs and entrepreneurs, but is not itself a restaurant. So be on the lookout for that. For those who are big fans of Turning Tables, they just recently had their final regular service back on April 10th. But this Saturday, tomorrow, April 13th, the business plan to host a farewell reception 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at their current existing location. I really love Turning Tables Tavern. It's a hard location. Like being down there because it's all that attracts is sports, right?
I agree 100%. So the parking isn't great.
It's just hard, like really have a business.
It's
like,
hard really, to attract yeah, people to.
Especially a unique yeah. business, innovative business as hers,
yeah,
you know?
I agree. Yeah.
So.
But, you know, the woman who owns that is so dynamic.
Yes, she's great.
Emerald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. So big up to her to continue her mission at a new location. Again, that's 250 East Wisconsin Avenue. Next, we mentioned it before, the Dan Jacobs, who's on Top Chef mm-hmm. early. And Dan Van Wright, a few weeks ago, mentioned that they will have a full brick and mortar for their Esther Evs. And it looks like they're opening next week. Is that next week? Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Bayview, okay. Esther, April 17th, a former location of Ceviche, 2165 Kinnick Avenue. And they used to operate just on Fridays and Saturdays inside Dan Dan. Now that we open Wednesday through Saturday nights, this new space will be used to house again Ceviche, given a 40-seat dining room, a bar, and an outdoor patio. And they describe the cuisine as custom comfort food classics drawing on global inspirations. Well, that wraps up this week's edition of This Bites. Be on the lookout for our show, Top Bites, coming to your streaming service sometime soon. We're working on trying to find an executive producer and some judges that are qualified for our show, Top Bites. Be on the lookout for that. And if your chef want to compete on our show, let us know. This Bites is produced and edited by Marcus Doucette with support and generosity from our membership. Please subscribe to This Bites wherever you get your podcast or head over to radiomilwaukee.org. Remember, feedback's important, so please rate and review. And as always, Ann, stay hungry.
And keep the Malort cold.
Ciao. Ann Christensen, a.k.a. the real Kristen Kish.
Aw, ciao, Bella.
And the hate mail is coming. And you've won the hate mail and at Milwaukee. Oh,
right. Yeah.
Have a great weekend, Ann.
You too.